Fandom. With your host, Jesse Lawson. Welcome back, Wrestling Fandom Podcast fans. I want to start off this week's show by saying that I apologize that it's late. Had some computer issues. Started recording the All Out review, and it just stopped recording. So I had to figure that all out. I want to thank you guys again for listening. Make sure to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Make sure you review the podcast on iTunes, anywhere really that has you review podcasts. It helps get us out there. I appreciate it very much. Please make sure to check out our store at wfpod.threadless.com. We got some drink cups. We got t-shirts and men, women's, and kids. We got even Corona masks. Please check it out. All proceeds go to right back into the podcast. You know, we got a couple good things coming up here in the next few weeks. You know, Northwest Pro's coming back through on the 25th. That's going to be a really good show. I'm just bummed I'm not going to be able to make it to that one. We got some good things brewing for the podcast. Working on a couple more interviews with a couple of people that have been around in and around the business for decades. That's all coming up soon. I hope y'all are staying safe in this crazy world of ours right now. A lot of people aren't gonna expect the review to be the way it is, but I hope y'all enjoy it. I'm just here to let my voice be heard. I want your voices to be heard. And if you have an awesome fandom story, a real interesting, you know, path as a fan in your life, please get a hold of the show on our social medias. We're on, you know, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Please get a hold of us. Let's set up a time. Let's chit chat. Let's deep dive into your wrestling fandom. But that's enough stupid rambling. Let's get to what y'all downloaded the show for: the AEW All Out review. Friday night, September 25th, Northwest Pro presents This Means War, live at Curly's Hauser Junction in Post Falls, Idaho. In tag team action is former WWE and current NWA star Trevor Murdoch, with a mystery partner to face Lumberstache, NWP champion Lumberzack, and Mikey Moustache. The vacant and Northwest Pro Tag Team Championships will be on the line as Jay Manson teams up with former Lucha Underground star Marty the Moth to take on Action Team Now, JD Mason, and Danger Dean. Roger Hawkins will also be defending his Washington State Championship in a gauntlet match. All this and more live at Curly's Hauser Junction in Post Falls, Idaho. Bell time 5 p.m. Admission is free with a suggested donation. Be there. Alright, fandom fans, it's time for the all-out review of mine. A lot of people that actually know me would probably say I'm gonna probably crap all over it, you know. But it was actually a decent show. I mean, you can't really expect much from, you know, stuff you didn't grow up on and that you personally like, but I didn't mind it. I mean, don't get me wrong, there were a few things that were just ridiculous. But hey, we'll get to those when we get to those, right? But overall, I thought it was a pretty good show. To start the pay-per-view off, it was Britt Baker and Big Swole in the Tooth or Nail match. AEW's, I don't know if it was their cinematic match debut or not. I don't really watch AEW very much. I don't really watch newer wrestling at all. If it was, they did alright. I mean, it could have been better. Could have been way worse, though. It wasn't Total Deletion or the Boneyard match. See, I don't know current wrestling very well. Whatever the Deletion match in TNA, that one, not the WWE one. It did all right. The first thing in this match that really got to me were them stupid chattering teeth. I get the joke, but it just, I don't know, maybe I just hate those damn things that much that it just bugged me. But it was, I got the joke, and it was, you know, Britt being a dentist and all, I got it, but it was just, it's too horror, too cheesy, B-rated horror movie for me. Then they started the brawl, the match, whatever you want to call it. It was more of a brawl than a match. But when they went out back and Swole got her in the Brit into the wheelchair, and she wheeled her into a stack of boxes. A stack of boxes. And Brit sold it. Yeah. But hey, that swinging neck breaker when they came back in to the office, the dentist office, and Britt hit that swinging neck breaker. I felt that one. That was a good one. That was, to me, that was probably the best bump of the whole match. And the one that probably hurt the most. Those girls actually busted their ass in this match, and I give them all the respect. Straight up. I may not have liked some of the things in the match, but I gotta give them credit and all the respect in the world for it. To be able to do that on, them hard concrete floors in an office, you know, them bumps are hard enough in the ring for these men and women. These two ladies taking the bumps on the concrete and all that, those bumps hurt no matter what. So you gotta give them all the credit in the world. Rebel brings out a syringe and Novocaine after Britt's yelling for it. Like, hold up. You just gonna stab somebody on a goddamn pay-per-view? I mean, if that's what you wanna do, well, okay. Now I hope that was the blow-off match, because the only thing left is somebody to get shot. That's all I gotta say. But, but I did like how Swole hit her discus elbow on Rebel. I won't call her by whatever the hell AEW calls her. Reba. Maybe it's my age and I just see Reba McIntyre every time I hear that name. Probably. Swole hit her discus elbows. I don't remember the name, what they called it, on both the ladies. And then, which on Rebel, she did it through a picture frame, so I put out Rebel for the rest of the match, which didn't last long, because after she hit Britt with one, she did the smartest thing, turned on the gas and passed her ass out. Swole, 1000% gotta give you credit. You two ladies busted your ass. You know, like I said, I don't watch AEW much, and a lot of people that know me say I'm very one-sided, so they're going to be pleasantly surprised by that one. But hey, you know, I can't disrespect or take any credit away from them. Much as I don't like some of the things in these shows, you know, and some of these personalities, I mad respect for all of them. Up next was the Bucks and the Jurassic Express. It was a good tag match. I actually enjoyed it, and I don't enjoy the Young Bucks as much as I used to. Seemed like a little bit after the Hot Topic thing, it started cooling down real fast for me, when it was just kind of a niche thing at one time. That's when I preferred the Bucks the most, you know. But a really good team. You know, the Express looks like an awesome team, you know. You got the big guy and the little guy. The little guy with speed. Big guy actually has speed instead of the clunking big guys. They look good, but if they want to keep Marco Stunt around as their little mascot, tag partner, whatever he's supposed to be more serious. Because when they came out and he's just sitting there waving like he just seen Hulk Hogan, like he was a child in the 80s and just seen Hulk Hogan, like, calm down. Yes, I get, but, you know, like I said, can't disrespect because I don't know these people. I don't know these characters. First time in a long time I've actually sat down and watched an AEW show start to finish. Since I would say probably their first Dynamite. The Bucks did their typical entrance. You know, okay, I get it. Jungle Boy and Nick started off the match, and they had a very nice, in my opinion, opening spot. I noticed it really early in the match by some of the Bucks' antics and body language and facials. They were going to work heel more, and they surely did, and I truly enjoyed it. I think, honestly, that's what sucked me into this match more. Ooh, and a scary spot, the first scary spot of the night, was when it was Matt Jackson and Jungle Boy in the ring. Matt botched that suplex over the top rope after some really nice German, or Northern Lights, my apologies. Should have known that. Rook, don't kill me next time you see me. They went all out after botching that suplex. They went outside the ring, rolled out, giving themselves a second, but, well, what Jungle Boy thought, giving themselves a second, because Matt was right under that rope, picked that boy up, two more Northern Lights, but the second one was up and over the guardrail, onto the concrete. Ow. Once again, concrete bumps. I bumped on concrete. I don't like bumping on concrete. I feel their pain. Matt put some emphasis on that oomph up and over. Jungle Boy Jack, he starts taking the heat. Bucks is doing a very good tag work, cutting off that ring. Quick, nice, quick in and out tags. Marco pulled the Nick's foot off the apron, and that kind of stopped the Bucks' momentum there for a bit. Luchasaurus then got the hot tag, came in a house of fire, took the Bucks down, got a two. Then the Jungle Boy goes flying over the top rope onto the Bucks after they retreat after getting the two count. The near fall, thank God. Then Lucha hits him with a really nice moonsault. I like that. Obviously, it's in my notes. Nick stops Jungle Boy with a very vicious powerbomb on the goddang apron. That was nice. You know, pretty much back and forth a little bit more. Then the Bucks hit Jungle Boy with super kick party twice. Both times got a near fall. Then they set up for the double knees, and that was good night for Jungle Boy. The Bucks working as heels. I like that. That works. That I don't know why it works. Maybe because I've seen them, you know, the happy-go-lucky party guys for years now, and then to really see them show some true emotion on their face, on their body, on their, you know, without selling emotion, but their body language, their demeanor, their expression. Honestly, the minute the bell rang, you could feel it. You could see it on them. I really enjoyed that. Really did. After that, we had the Casino Battle Royale. There's not really much to talk about this one. I mean, it's a battle royal. Yeah, the way they do it is pretty cool. I do like that. The deck of cards. That's pretty cool. The suits. All I wanted was Eddie Kingston doing this. Eddie Kingston is the best talker in the business right now, other than maybe Paul Heyman or Randy Orton. That's all I was really looking forward to and hoping was Eddie Kingston getting the win in this. Been a big fan of Eddie Kingston for years. Watched him as much as I could, even when I was wrestling. Major influence on me, and I just love how raw emotion he is. I want to say I wish we had people like more wrestlers like that in the business nowadays, so it'd be a little bit more the way it was back in the day. But at the same time, I don't, because Eddie Kingston is standalone. He is different from everyone. I was hoping. I was praying. But got a really nice surprise. Matt Sydal came in as the Joker card. I haven't seen him in dang, I don't even remember how long it's been. A couple of years. It was great to see him. I haven't seen Matt Sydal, like I said, in years. And then he took a very bad botch. And it wasn't even a botch of his own. If you go back and watch it, even on some of the GIFs I've been seeing on social media and stuff, if you watch it, you can watch his foot slide right off that rope. That was scary. Scary spot number two. For me, because that was, oh, man. All indications, Matt Sydal's going to be good. And I can't wait to see what he does. You know, he's a very good athlete, very good worker. His shooting star press is phenomenal when he doesn't slip off a rope. Fans are going to be busting his balls about that for years. Then the next thing I really jotted down in my notes was that that whole Darby Allin body bag, Brian Cage powerbomb spot, that bothered me. That really bothered me. We get, you know, you get into the business to make money and to take care of each other. I know a lot of people don't like it from what I hear nowadays in some of the bigger places, you know. I loved working here in Washington when I was working. An old school thing is to shake each and everyone's hand because we all make money together and we all trust each other. We have a bond with each other that people don't understand. With that being said, you know, I understand Darby Allin's gimmick, lifestyle, whatever, you know, he likes to punish himself, but there's no way in hell if I put myself in Brian Cage's shoes, I would have ever done that. That would have been a no. And to see a guy like Brian Cage pick him up and toss that body bag with him and them stupid thumbtacks. But just him, there was no, Brian Cage, you know, kept him, you know, straight and everything, but still, like, anything could have happened, you know. I just didn't think that was right to do at all. But yeah, it happened. And what was up with that finish? I haven't seen Jake Roberts fuck up a finish in a match that bad since Heroes of Wrestling. Like, what? Like, you could see Kingston kicking him. Like, not yet. Like, clear as day. And Jake's still just holding the bag open. I have absolutely the most respect in the world for Jake. Give him props. I've met the man. I've talked with the man. I've learned from the man. I'm just going to have to chalk that up to an off night for Jake. Of course, we all know Kingston didn't win, and Lance did. But, hey, speaking of Lance winning, I loved how JR kept calling him Lance Hoyt. Excalibur kept correcting him Lance Archer. I thought that was pretty funny. But I got to give it up to Lance. He's a badass. Hard-working dude, kicking ass for years, taking names in Japan, on the indies, small stint with WWE, TNA back in the day. This guy's a badass, and I'm glad to see he's finally getting his just due with a major company. Before I go to the next match, another thing I didn't really care for thinking of it, and I thought about it while I was watching it. That kind of gave away the finish to the main event because I knew they weren't going to do Lance versus MJF. Just a sidebar note. I thought about that as I was watching that. And then this week on Jim Cornette's podcast reviewing it, he even brought that up. And I was like, okay, I'm not the only one that noticed that. Other than that, it's a battle royal. Forearm, 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 you're gone. Forearm, 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 you're gone. Can't really say much about battle royals nowadays, but it was decent. Finish was kind of clunky. Lance wins, and I gotta give him props. Hope he does good. I wouldn't mind seeing him as AEW champion. He's a big burly bastard. Believable too. Very believable. And then what in the blue outlaw mud show fuckery was going on in the next one? And I can full heartedly to any of my listeners that want to object to me saying that, I have ran some outlaw mud shows, y'all. Some of my listeners will totally agree with me on this. So I think I'm in the realm of authority to say if something's an outlaw fucking mud show moment. And this seriously was. It's the Matt Hardy and Sammy Guevara match. First off, just remember, just stating, these are all my personal opinions, you know, and feelings and thoughts. I just want to share them, you know. But this was absolutely ridiculous. Started out alright. I get it, you know, AEW's different. I seen that they had that stadium match a few months ago, you know. Alright, eh, whatever. I understand they start out in different places. Hell, they used to do it in WWF back in the 90s and WCW. But when they get to the scissor lift and they go up, first off, come on. In a real fight, you're not going to fight up on a scissor lift like that. And then, second, that table was way too close. It was pretty much from what it looked like on the video I was watching. It looked like it was butted up to the scissor lift, like the little safety panel that they put on that one side. And first off, me running some outlaw mud shows, I'm pretty good eyed to say that's too close and not far enough out. So I've seen some people hit some floors, hit some stairs and stuff. So what the hell was y'all thinking? And for the opening big bump, you know, the first big bump in the match is going to be that. That's a finish, y'all. Matt Hardy, I respect you all in the world, but bro, that's a finish bump. And no offense, you ain't no spring chicken. You got a beautiful wife, and you got 3 children to think of, bruh. So, I understand that feeling, and I understand that drug-like feeling, you know. them fans will give you. I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. That energy you get from a crowd when you're in a match, that energy, that feeling, if you could put that in a vial, I'd probably be bigger junkie than Kurt Cobain was. Just because I get that feeling. I understand that feeling, you know. But come on, bro. You don't need to be taking bumps like that. You are Matt frickin' Hardy. No. You are Matt fucking Hardy. Like, bro, you have our respect. You don't need to do that. Like, I get you want to put on a good match and get Sammy over, but Matt, you can do it without doing that. But the one thing that truly pissed me off is Matt was done for after he hit that ground. That was ridiculous, man. Ridiculous. How or why would you let that match come to? Let that match continue a few minutes later when Matt came to and was gone. That just makes me shake my head to think that a doctor that had less than what they showed JR and Excalibur and Tony for what, a minute and a half, and then they cut back to Matt jumping Sammy again. Are you freaking serious? I don't care what Tony Khan's got to say. I don't care if, honestly, the doctor, I hope that doctor was pissed that they let him do that. Because you could tell by the look on Aubrey's face after Matt hit that ground, something was legitimately and seriously wrong. The demeanor of the doc that came out after Matt stood up, after they already called the match off, which was a good thing, and they restarted a few minutes later, which is just disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. That doctor should have stepped in. Tony Khan should have stepped in and said, no, screw this. We can finish this. Take care of you, homie. That, I would have done that on one of my Outlaw shows. Straight up. I would have done that on one of the more legit shows I've ran. Because a bump like that, nah. Match is done, son. You know, it made it really hard to watch the next match. The match I was looking forward to the most out of this whole card. Rosa and Shida. Real hard to enjoy it, you know, going right after. This was the goddamn match I wanted to see the whole time. And they got me going right at the beginning. These two ladies, awesome. Just awesome. The stare down into the pie facing each other was just absolutely, it sucked me right in. Those two, their demeanors, their body language, they were ready to go. This match was awesome, in my opinion. This match was, to me, this was probably the best match of the night. Me, personally. The way Rosa, you could tell Rosa, this wasn't playing games to Rosa. The way her demeanor, her aggression, this was Rosa's opportunity to be the NWA Women's Champion and put the NWA back on the map, like, legitimately nationwide, more than what has been with her being, you know, this little story with Shida. Rosa's putting the NWA on the map fivefold by being on AEW. Billy Corgan, the dude's being smart. This opportunity came across and he jumped on it. And I can't say I blame him. You know, in this pandemic, the NWA ain't running. AEW is. Get some of his faces out there. Because he's lost a few and they've signed with AEW. So, some of them were some big players, you know, Eddie Kingston and Ricky Starks, you know. Those guys, they're the ones that really put a dent in NWA viewership for me. Like, I was watching first off, I watched the first episode just for NWA, and then Eddie Kingston sucked me in. And then Ricky Starks did. Back to the match. Apologize for going off the side road. But the NWA, Rosa wanted to be NWA and AEW champion. You could tell in her body language, in her aggression, in her demeanor, in her facials. Rosa wasn't playing no games, but neither was Shida. Shida was ready to come and bring it, and she did. After getting her ass whooped for a while, quite a while. But hey, she came back with I'm going to call it a shining wizard. I can't really tell you what. I don't remember what the name of it is they called it. These ladies deserve a lot of credit. That was a phenomenal match. I'm not a very big WWE Revolution guy. Evolution, whatever. Women's Revolution. I mean, I support it. It's way better than it's ever been. But after it just stayed the four, I zoned out. Let's put it that way. So this one has been the best women's match I've seen in a couple years, and I gotta give them 1,000% credit. Now, with that being said, you know, I'm sure some of y'all are gonna be like, why haven't you seen this women's match? Why haven't you seen this women's match? You send them to me on the socials or hit me up at WrestlingFandomPod@gmail.com. Send me the links. I'll watch them straight up. But the last couple of years, this I would say has been the best women's match I've seen in a long time. After that, we had the 8-man tag, the Dark Order, with Brody Lee, Stu Grayson, Uno, and Colt Cabana taking on the Natural Nightmares. QT Marshall, Dustin Rhodes, Matt Cardona, and Scorpio Sky. It started out pretty quickly. It was decent, you know. I thought it was very smart at the beginning of the match to get the heat on QT. Out of the four on that side, QT, the way he's been presented on TV, great, great worker, great athlete, mad respect for him, doing what he loves. To me, he was the perfect one to get the heat on. Ryder. Sorry, I put Ryder in my notes. Matt Cardona got the hot tag and made a really good comeback on Colt Cabana. He only got a near fall when Lee put Colt's foot on the rope. Smart. I love seeing stuff like that when it's called for. And right there it was called for. It was perfect spot. Why is there in these tags so many hot tags? Big major comeback hot tag. Why? Somebody explain this to me. From my understanding and learning, the hot tag should be towards the finish. That's pretty much the start of the finish. I just don't understand why I have so many in a match. See, and that's what sucks about 8-man tags. I don't like watching them. And I don't like, especially if they're not elimination. That's why I love Survivor Series matches. A lot of people don't. But I love the teams of five strive to survive. Survivor Series. The actual Survivor Series. As they call them, the Survivor Series. Traditional Survivor Series matches. I prefer those, you know. But when it's just an 8-man tag, 6-man tag, 10-man tag. Kind of hard to get my interest, you know, because there's usually a couple sets of heat. Just, it doesn't make sense to me. Brody Lee hit a beautiful tornado clothesline. I thought that looked so good to me that I kind of felt that. After that, Lee tags in Colt. For some weird-ass reason, Colt Cabana goes up to the top rope for a moonsault. He had the match won. Should have taken it. But he didn't. Miss the moonsault on Dustin, and Dustin ended up schoolboying him for the win. 1, 2, 3. Good 8-man tag. I liked it. I just don't know why there's so many hot tags in tag matches nowadays. That was the one thing that kept coming to mind. Then after the match, Dustin showed why he's a badass. He's one of the greats in this business. That promo was an awesome promo, and it really makes me looked forward to seeing what happened between him and Brody Lee on Dynamite this past Wednesday. And yeah, we all know. And then up next was the FTR tag team championship match, FTR versus Kenny Omega and Hangman Page. I love how FTR and Tully are matching jackets, and I love their logo. That logo reminds me so much, and I know it's a takeoff. I mean, it's quite obvious that it's a takeoff of the old school Four Horsemen logo. I love it. FTR is such a badass tag team. They're to me, they are the best tag team in the world, bar none. As much as I wanted to see them in the AEW, from what I've seen, and I don't watch much, if any, just clips here and there. I don't know. Seems to be something off with FTR. Don't know what it is, but I want to see that. I don't know. Just one of those things that you can't really put your finger on it. But you're just like, to me, there's something missing. Overall, still badass tag team. Kenny and Hangman, you know, they're a damn good tag team. They have that chemistry. But from what I've seen, you know, their whole does Kenny trust Hangman story did very good starting the match playing into that story. I loved how they didn't just blow it off, you know. They didn't blow it off until a little bit later, after a little bit, after they started double-teaming FTR, and Hangman threw up the double hands for a double high-five, and Kenny responded. Sure, if that was in a building full, and I mean legitimately full, because you could hear him pop, the fans pop. The few hundred that were there, you could hear it, and it felt awesome to hear it. Because you knew they would on something like that. That would have been an awesome pop to hear in a closed building with 10,000 fans. We're not there yet, but someday soon we will be. Then Hangman got sent into the post, and he tried to do the Curt Hennig slide in, hit the ribs on the post. Then FTR started working on the ribs. I don't know this is what makes it hard on the, I don't know what's missing. Because the minute his ribs got hurt, FTR were like rabid dogs, like the old Andersons, the Anderson brothers and cousins and, you know, the Andersons. Once they hurt a body part, they went after it like rabid dogs on a hurt, wounded dog. And they did on Hangman's rib. So I know the wrestling, the old schoolness isn't what's missing. Then Kenny got the tag and started lighting up the FTR. Now there's a little sidetrack here. I don't know what it is about Kenny Omega, but it's not the Kenny Omega of old. Whatever happened to the best bout machine ever? I haven't seen it once in AEW, and starting to really wonder if it's kind of in that Triple H role, where he was never the guy. He was always the guy that worked with the guy, because he's not having the quality of matches, in my opinion, that he did with Okada or Tanahashi. Maybe it's just he hasn't found somebody to gel well with on the other side, because he definitely gels well with Hangman. And maybe that match will be the match that does it, because, you know. But now back to the review. FTR stops Kenny and gets the upper hand, you know, starts working on him. Kenny makes his own comeback. Kenny and Hangman are double teaming. FTR chop blocks Kenny, takes his ass down, starts working on his knee. Really working on the knee. Then Hangman gets the big hot tag of the match. starts working over FTR. You know, at this point, this match was just way too long. Very good match. FTR won after hitting two spiked pile drivers. I liked it. It was alright. I just thought it was way too long. Way too long. From my personal taste. It didn't keep me, it didn't keep my attention as long as, they went. Let's say, you know. But it's just my opinion. And my feelings. After the match, Kenny showed his heel side. And, I'm waiting to see what it entails. You know, what it's building up to. Because, I did see the clip. A clip of Kenny's promo with JR from this past Wednesday on Dynamite, and just his demeanor, the way he talked, his body language said a lot without saying anything, and I'm waiting to see what it how it all comes out. Really looking forward to it. Then after that match, we had the Chris Jericho, Orange Cassidy, Mimosa match. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't watch this goddamn thing. No interest in it at all. Orange Cassidy just doesn't do it for me. Him sticking out his little thumb just doesn't do it for me. He does it for you. I'm not gonna hate. I'm one wrestling fan that will not hate you for, you know, what you like in the business. We all like different things, you know. That's what makes wrestling wrestling. It's what makes it such a great melting pot. Just not for me. wasn't interested. But Jericho's given a younger guy the rub, you know. People in his day didn't do that, so when he was coming up, so I give Jericho credit for it. Not my thing though. And then we had our main event after that, which was, I quit taking notes by this point. I had to put the kid to bed during the Jericho match. Yet another reason I didn't watch it. So Mox and MJF, I thought, was a great match. They told a great story. And that was a match that personally I thought MJF bleeding added to it. It it's the one time recently that I've seen blood really work, really, really work, really well. Perfect place for it. And I thought it was a great match. Mox wins, you know. I didn't see any clips on what happened between Warlow and MJF this past Wednesday, but I'm pretty sure they're building to something. Like I said, I didn't see any clips on that, so if they are, pretty it definitely looks like it. Like I said at the beginning of this, all in all, it was a pretty good all out. It was a pretty good show. Still not totally convinced on AEW being as the big, I can never figure out how to say this properly or correctly, but what their big draw is, I guess you could say. I love the alternative, I do, but I don't even watch WWE, so. Except for once in a blue moon. I'm mainly on YouTube checking out the old school stuff. You know, watching my friends, my former colleagues' matches. You know, that's what I do. But, like I said, all in all out was a pretty decent show. I didn't mind it, I liked it. There is another thing I need to say. Everybody talking about JR and his outrageous commentary. Y'all are freaking out about this. Is it because it's JR and not Jerry Lawler saying these things? Or have you forgotten just because JR's an older gentleman who's a widower, by the way? You know, do you think he doesn't have thoughts? Because I know most of you wrestling fans out there, and we all know the ones I'm talking about. Because I don't act like you haven't said worse things, sexually worse things, about some of these women in the professional wrestling business. I see it all the time about Bayley. So, that's my, you know. Don't be a hypocrite. And if it's just because you're uncomfortable that it's JR saying these things, And you would feel more comfortable if they were coming from somebody like Jerry Lawler, who's been saying things like this for 20 years. I get it. Let's say it. Don't crucify JR. JR's a good man. And he's the voice of, you know, he's the voice of wrestling. Straight up. He is what Gordon Soley was in the 70s. He is to wrestling now, and has been. Just give it a little more thought before you react. Just my thing, feeling. But AEW was a good show. Thought it was pretty good. But Kenny got the tag. It was Friday night, September 25th, Northwest Pro presents This Means War, live at Curly's Hauser Junction in Post Falls, Idaho. In tag team action is former WWE and current NWA star Trevor Murdoch, with a mystery partner to face Lumberstache, NWP champion Lumberzack, and Mikey Moustache. The vacant and Northwest Pro Tag Team Championships will be on the line as Jay Manson teams up with former Lucha Underground star Marty the Moth to take on Action Team Now, JD Mason, and Danger Dean. Roger Hawkins will also be defending his Washington State Championship in a gauntlet match. All this and more live at Curly's Hauser Junction in Post Falls, Idaho. Bell time 5 p.m. Admission is free with a suggested donation. Be there. I hope you all enjoyed that little review I did. Hopefully next week I'll have a guest. Thank you guys for listening. Appreciate it very much. And always remember, have a great and awesome day. Wrestling Fandom Podcast will be back at you next week. #AnotherShittyWrestlingPodcast. Peace out, folks.